There are always six of them, Susan said. Standard operations team. She calmly pulled the trigger, letting loose a short, precise burst of automatic fire, and blew the wounded vampire's head into disgusting mulch. Martin looked at his watch. We don't have long. Susan nodded, and they both started down the hallway toward the stairs. Come on, Harry. We found floor plans. The building's wired. I blinked and ran after them. Wired? To what? The explosives are on the fourth floor, Martin said calmly, placed all around your office. Those jerks, I said. They told us they were cleaning out asbestos. Susan barked out a short laugh, but Martin frowned her down. When that runner gets them word about what happened, they'll set them off. I suggest we hurry. Holy crap, I breathed. We sprinted for the stairs. Going down them took a lot less time than going up, but it was harder to control. I stumbled once, and Susan caught me by the arm, her fingers like bands of rigid steel. We reached the bottom together. Not out the front, I barked. Inbound authorities. I pounded past them and led them down a short hallway and out a side door into an alley. Then we sprinted to the back of the building, down another alley, and away. We had made it to the next block when light flashed and a giant, the size of a Sears building, hauled off and swatted us all with a pillow from his enormous bed. We were flung from our feet. Susan and Martin landed in a roll, tumbling several times. By contrast, I crashed into a garbage can. It was, of course, full. I lay there for a moment, my ears putting out a constant high-pitched tone. A cloud of dust and particles washed over me, mixing with whatever hideous stew was in the trash can and caking itself to my body. I am not playing at the top of my game, I mused aloud. I felt the words buzz in my throat, but I couldn't hear them. A few seconds later, sounds began to drift back in. Car horns and car alarms were going off everywhere. Storefront security systems were screaming. Sirens, lots and lots of sirens, were closing in. A hand slipped beneath my arm and someone helped me stand up. Susan. She was lightly coated with dust. It filled the air so thickly that we couldn't see more than 10 or 20 feet. I tried to walk and staggered. Martin got underneath my other arm and we started shambling away through the dust. After a while, things stopped spinning so wildly. I realized that Martin and Susan were talking. Sure there's not something left? Susan was saying. I'll have to examine it sector by sector, Martin said tonelessly. We might get a few crumbs. What the hell was he thinking, throwing that kind of power around when he knew we were after electronic data? He was probably thinking that the information would be useless to the two of us if we were dead, Susan said back, rather pointedly. They had us, and you know it. Martin said nothing for a while. Then he said, That, or he didn't want us to get the information. He was quite angry. He isn't that way, she said. It isn't him. It wasn't him, Martin corrected her. Are you the same person you were 8 years ago? She didn't say anything for a while. I remembered how to walk and started doing it on my own. I shook my head to clear it a little and looked back over my shoulder. There were buildings on fire. More and more sirens were on the way. The spot in the skyline where my office building usually sat from this angle was empty, except for a spreading cloud of dust. Fires and emergency lights painted the dust orange and red and blue. My files. My old coffee machine. My spare revolver. My favorite mug. My ratty, comfortable old desk and chair. My frosted glass window with its painted lettering reading, Harry Dresden, Wizard. They were all gone. Damn it, I said. Susan looked up at me. What was that? I answered in a weary mumble. I mailed in the rent on my office this morning.